There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
I was all set to take issue with our next guest when I came across the headline of one of his articles, which read, "Why trying to inspire your team with breakthrough thinking doesn't work. Roger Bannister on the myth of the four-minute mile." And I was ready to jump to Roger Bannister's defense, but we have the author in person in the studio. He is Bruce Dory, business author, author of Lift, The Nature and Craft of Expert Coaching. Good morning. Thanks for joining us, Bruce. I was ready to take umbrage with you until I read on, and it's, you say Roger Bannister breaking the four-minute mile mark was an amazing accomplishment, but what matters most to leading a team is how, not what. Explain that thinking.
Well, you know, years ago I thought the same thing, that Bannister really did. The concept was that he broke this limiting belief, and when you break this limiting belief, then you can do something extraordinary. And it turns out that when you run the data, so I took data for 150 years, I hired a company, that really nothing essentially happened after he broke the record. And the more I dug into it, the more I realized the key aspects of what Bannister did that was different was, one, that he used two pacers. So he had these two fellows who helped him.
Christopher Hathaway.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And he also, as a medical student, he was really interested. He, one of the first guys, he brought in a treadmill into the lab, yeah, yeah, and did O2 testing on himself. So he used science, and he used the collaboration of other people. It's a very seductive idea that if you just change your mindset, you can do something different and extraordinary. And to a degree, that's true if you've already done the work necessary to get there. In other words, what happens, people will think that, well, I don't really need to do the work, all the hard work of training. I'll just change my mindset, and then I'll do something great.
I guess that's right. I mean, there are a couple of things there saying, you know, people focus on that four-minute mile. But what people tend to forget is actually the record only lasted something like 40 or 50 days. Somebody else broke his record.
Was it Peter Snell?
It was 1954.
Hmm.
I'm not quite sure the name of the guy broke them. But Roger Bannister was an absolute perfect example of humility, because mm-hmm. he didn't focus on that. That wasn't, in his mind, the defining moment of his life, because he died earlier this year, in March mm-hmm. of this year. And he spent sort of 40 years researching into neurological disorders as a doctor and a researcher. And whenever he was interviewed after that, people wanted to talk about the four-minute mile. But he wanted to talk more about his medical research and everything else. So he was a perfect example of humility. I don't know whether that really ties in with your thinking at all, but he was just somebody who didn't focus on the one thing. He was much, much, much broader than that.
Mm-hmm. He was an interesting guy. He didn't have a coach prior to that. He was a very good runner, and he ran in the Olympics. He didn't win in the Olympics, but he ran
in the Stockholm Olympics.
Yeah, and he was a, but he, to do this race, he hired a coach. And to a little background, there were a number of people sort of right on his tail, and he knew that if he didn't run it at that, during that period of time, somebody would do it. So he was there was a lot of people who were very close to breaking the mile.
Talk about the knowledge transfer between generations. I mean, while some of what my generation learned is useful to pass on, a lot of it won't actually relate at all to newer generations. I mean, how do companies figure out what is useful to capture from, say, baby boomers like myself, and what is not?
Yeah, that's a great question. The key elements that I'm finding are aspects of just getting along with other people, being able to read other people and situations with respect to empathy. One of the things that people who have been in business for a long time know, they know how to get things done. And getting things done isn't necessarily available in a book, or not even in my book. It's a function of being able to read people, read the situation, read the economy, read the market. And people that have been in business for a long period of time, in a specific business, just know what's going on. They know how to relate to, you know, behaviors and responses of people that they're working with.
The generation transfer that Malk's talking about there, the baby boomers retiring, handing mm-hmm. over to Generation X, mm-hmm. my generation, there's a difference in the size of the populations, isn't there?
Very much so, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a barbell. So on the baby boomers, there's in the United States and Canada, there's 80 million. And in Western Europe, it's a pretty similar number, the baby boom. And the Gen X are roughly 30% smaller. And then the millennials are very big.
What does that mean for corporate life?
It means that as the baby boomers sort of transfer out, they're going to be essentially handing management and leadership over to a smaller group of people, to fewer people. They've got to be better. They've got to know a lot more because they're managing a market with baby boomers who are living longer and all these millennials who are coming on and getting married and having kids.
So how do we manage that change? How do we make sure it works?
Great question. One of the things I'm suggesting is coaching really does work. We know that. But what works is coaching with context. In other words, you would be a great coach for somebody who wants to get into the radio business because you've gone through it. You know that. So I'm suggesting we coach the senior members of the team of organizations to be coaches. So rather than hiring outside coaches, we coach the senior managers to become coaches.
While they're managing, or is sort of a retirement part-time job?
It's while they're managing is the best way, and then they can transition out however they like. But it's really, managing and coaching are not that distant, but they are distinct enough that you have to.
There's a lot of skepticism, though, around coaching, the idea that anyone can become a coach, you can do a 3-month course over the internet, and all of a sudden, woohoo, you are a coach. How true is some of that?
My premise is that the best coaches are people who really know the industry and know their business. And I do agree, and you know, in all over the place, you can get these coaching certifications for, as you said, a weekend course. The foundation of a great coach, like in sports or in music or in acting, is knowledge of what they're doing. And having that empathy and having gone through the learning curve themselves, they're far better just sort of step one at being a coach. And then there's some really great new coaching technologies. Positive psychology is a really great foundation for coaching.
I mean, one of the chapters in your book, which is Lift, and it looks at coaching in business, is entitled The Nature of Retail Transformation. Just sort of, what's the sort of premise there?
That in the 60s and 70s in United States, Canada, and Eastern and Western Europe, there was a movement toward, it was called the Human Potential Movement. And Scientology and EST and all of these different programs started to come on board. And they offered transformation. And transformation at that time was really this sort of in vogue way of thinking, kind of unlimited thinking, the ability to think in new ways and not be limited by your beliefs. And retail transformation was that they would sell, they'd have these weekend seminars and they'd pack people in and you'd go in and, you know, for $500-$600 spend the weekend. And they literally trained millions and millions of people. And the training was in an aspect of coaching, in essence, of removing the limiting beliefs. And that's sort of a really fast way of doing it. And I think that's an aspect of coaching, but it's such a small aspect that it's hard to, you know, kind of focus on that.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming into the studio, Bruce. We appreciate it. Bruce Dorey, business author, author of Lift, The Nature and Craft of Expert Coaching. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.